Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got Evan keeping me company on the airwaves this afternoon, but Brian is off. I've seen him. He's alive and healthy. He's not in Evan's basement, no matter what Evan's about to try to say. He's alive and well.
I'd never. I just saw him a moment ago.
Yeah, and folks, if you may catch him in the background, potentially on either of these excellent video streams that we are broadcasting live to on Devil Radio 92.7 FM's Facebook page. And the reason Brian is off is the air right now is because he's improving the signal for one of our fine new stations, Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin, WXCE 1260 AM. So all of our folks in northern Wisconsin listening on the Amory signal, I can thank Brian when the signal is sounding even better once he's done today. But welcome to the show, everyone. If you want to join the show at any time, you can 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support. That's 98.3 FM. WISS 1100 AM. In Wisconsin Rapids, we're broadcasting on locally grown radio, WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. In, where did I miss so far? Richland Center. How could I forget? Richland Center. Radio from the center, WRCE 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. And all of the individuals listening on the Civic Media app. Welcome to the show. It is a Thursday afternoon. We are broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's near west side. And that phone line is open all hour long. As our friend Matt Flynn Direct in the morning likes to say, those phone lines are open. We've got some headlines that we're going to get to here in Wisconsin, as well as some polling that is, I think, getting a little bit looked over when it comes to some pretty major outlets nationally, with some polling that I don't think we should overlook. And we've got a profits update from Shell, raking in the dough, and a new report out from Ford Analytics as well. But where we'll begin the show this afternoon is Connecticut Tim. His homework got checked. And it seems like the people on his campaign and his supporters are a little upset that his homework got checked. Because, as Brian and I have alluded to many times here on Dueling Tangents, he's not big when it comes to policy proposals. He's a lot of talk, but mostly you get an empty suit. We only got one debate. We're not going to see Tim Michaels and Tony Evers take the debate stage anymore over the next 12 days. The debates are in the past. The debate is in the past. There's not going to be a chance for the public to be able to hear from him one-on-one against his opponent, incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers. But Tim Michaels, since he has just floated ideas, not really shared any specifics, it's been hard to fact-check him on some of these things. It's hard to really know where he stands on the issues because he just floats ideas. And one of those ideas that he floated was a flat tax for the state of Wisconsin. Said that he'd be open to it. Now, that's really all it takes if he were to be elected governor. Him being open to the idea would be a pretty big step in the direction of that becoming law. Because with the Republican-led legislature, it would only be disagreements between Tim Michaels and that Republican-led legislative body that would prevent something from being law. So if it came before him and he was open to it, pretty good chance that it would get signed. But again, not a whole lot of specifics. The only things that he's really said about the flat tax that he would be open to would be that he'd want it to be about 5%, roughly, and that he wouldn't want to raise taxes on anyone. Well, there's some analysis now done on the flat tax, kind of taking either of those options into account, because they're conflicting options. You can't have a flat tax in the state of Wisconsin around 5% while also having a flat tax in Wisconsin that won't raise taxes on anyone. And the new analysis out from 30 different economic professors shows the breakdown of this policy proposal of what Tim Michaels would be open to if he were to be elected governor. This is written up in a piece by Corinne Hess over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. More than two dozen economists say a, quote, flat tax that Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels has said he is open to would only favor Wisconsin's richest residents. Huh. Huge shock there. Huge shock there. This is my surprise face, folks.
They will not talk about the richest residents, you know?
No. Hang on, Evan. He said in floating this idea that he wouldn't want to raise taxes on anyone. So...
And Mandela wants to raise taxes on, quote, some American families.
Some American families like Tim Michaels, potentially. But let's go into this piece, because the analysis provided by these more than two dozen economists is pretty indicative of what would happen with the few details that we receive from Tim Michaels. Again, not a hard proposal. He doesn't have those. He's not running on hard proposals. He's not running on something you could actually critique. He's running on platitudes. And so people making more than $500,000 per year would get an average tax cut of $22,800 per year, according to Michael Rosen, one of the Milwaukee area economic professors, teaches at MATC, Emeritus of Economics, and longtime Democratic political activist. That indicator is in the piece at the Journal Sentinel. But Rosen says that is what the type of tax cut would be for somebody making more than $500,000 a year here in the state of Wisconsin. The letter was written and signed by economics professors from universities in Wisconsin, Missouri, Illinois, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, and presented at a news conference yesterday afternoon in Milwaukee.
Maintenance on that Bugatti costs a lot, man. And, that $20,000 is going to come in handy.
And those are jobs creators right there, aren't they, Evan?
Italian jobs creators.
Italian. No, I think the maintenance, I don't think they send it back to Italy for the maintenance on those ones. I think that stays like
special shops or something.
Yeah. But we got during the, this is reading again from the piece by Corinne Hess over at the Journal Sentinel. During the only debate between Michaels and Governor Tony Evers, Michaels said he would act, quote, massive tax reform to get more money in people's pockets. Now, you can say that he wasn't lying there by analyzing this tax proposal, because he is going to get a lot of money into a very few people's pockets. He wants you to think that he's going to deliver tax relief for you, when really it's the earners over $500,000 a year that would benefit from this flat tax. So let's find out why the two proposals that he's floated around a potential 5% tax, flat tax for the state, are contradictory. Michaels has provided few details about his plan during a campaign stop on October 5th at the Square Tavern in downtown Baraboo. He said he thinks the tax could be about 5%. So that's the time. He was at a member of the Wisconsin Tavern League on that day, Square Tavern. He was touting the recent endorsement that he had received from that special interest group. And that's when we got these details about what Tim Michaels would like to see done when it comes to a flat tax. Quote, I'm going to sit down with all the smart tax people. We're going to figure out how low we can get the income tax, Michaels said in Baraboo. Right now, it looks like we could get it somewhere just below 5%. If you had a flat tax, that number, the tax level would actually come up for those on the lowest income bracket. I do not want to raise taxes on anyone. So he acknowledges where he's kind of picturing it already, would raise taxes on Wisconsinites. because the state of Wisconsin does have a progressive tax bracket.
Except for most people.
Except for most people.
At the end of the day, doesn't it come out that way? A flat tax like that affects the poorest people in the state.
Yeah. And so Wisconsin's income tax starts right now at 3.54% and rises to 7.65%. Republicans who control the state legislature over the past decade have focused their income tax rates on the middle brackets, but largely left in place the top rate, which is levied on individuals for income of $267,000 and up. And so that is where the people who will benefit the most from a flat tax. So let's look at this analysis. A new analysis prepared by the Wisconsin Nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau shows in order to enact a flat tax without significant spending cuts, the new flat tax rate would have to be 5.22%. Already where above Michaels was thinking. He wanted to be just below 5% and acknowledged that that would raise taxes on some taxpayers here in the state of Wisconsin. If you got it down to a rate at the lowest rate that Tim Michaels is saying, okay, nobody's going to have an increase of taxes. The lowest rate. Guess what size of deficit it blows into the revenue for the state, Evan? You got a guess?
Man, I'm scared I'm going to overshoot it and kind of like, you know, I'm going to soften your jab here. I'm going to say $3
billion. $5.59 billion in the first year.
I wonder how much money Wisconsin has right now.
We've got about $5 billion.
Oh, this seems sort of...
But here's the problem, Evan. Every year after that first year, you were a little bit more accurate. $3.855 billion is what this policy proposal would cost the state of Wisconsin. So, Timmy Michaels can't have it either way. He can't make a flat tax without raising taxes. And he can't have a flat tax so low without blowing a huge hole in the state's revenue source. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue on with this one and a whole lot more. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
I'm against crime, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. People keep asking me, Bobby, what are you going to do once you get in the office? I'm pretty sure I'll figure it out.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. Can be like our friends here in Madison, calling in from maybe the bar. Who knows? Hawk, what's on your mind today?
I was a jam tune. It reminded me of someone very particular that I worked with a long time ago. It's funny how music, like, I'll have a very vivid moment, a very specific part of my life when a song comes out, you know?
Yeah, that's my latest earworm. I've been listening to that one I've been listening to other songs too, but that one by Sure has been on a loop pretty frequently lately.
So two things. I wasn't actually calling it that flat tax, but, you know, I just wonder how much it really matters. Like, if you're like someone like an independent or like a moderate Republican or something, this whole flat tax, I feel like it's almost like a ruse. Like it's almost a distraction from the reality of his wretched, like, that he's a fairly wretched person, right? So what you do is you just throw out random crap, and then, like, it throws people off the whiff of your stank, you know, by just throwing out idiotic ideas. I mean, remember, who was the guy back, the flat tax guy from back along, the president? Who was that guy? Remember that? And then... Late
80s
or something?
Late 80s was a little bit before my time, Hawk. So I believe Perot, I don't think it was Nader. I think it might have been Perot, but I could be wrong. I'm not very confident on that.
Well, I actually was calling in because of a tangent. So about inflation.
Okay.
And I guess it is tax related. It's frustrating to me that anybody is able to talk about inflation and not mention corporate greed in the conversation. Like, so I was watching, like, it must have been CNN or something, okay, and, like, they had, here's Larry Summers, because he's an expert, right? He's in, you know, he's an expert on this kind of stuff, right? And Larry Summers, this a-hole, he starts talking about how, oh, well, yeah, you know, when the Fed, you know, raise, it'll help the Fed. He has a 10-minute conversation, doesn't ever mention corporate greed, right? And I'm like, I can't believe a thing this guy says, because he doesn't mention corporate profits in the inflation conversation. And anybody who is not mentioning corporate profits in the inflation conversation is either A, completely unknowledgeable about what's going on, or just like an idiot, you know? Like, I don't know. I just think anytime anybody talks to you about inflation, bring up corporate profits.
Well,
you know, because
and Hawk, the best example of it today, we've got the headline that Shell is posting adjusted earnings for the third quarter of 2022 of $9.45 billion from July through September. And it is last year. Guess what it was over the same period last year, third quarter 2021?
Oh my God, like two or three?
4.1 billion. So it's more than
doubled. Yes, doubled it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, doubled it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Like, if inflation was a problem that, like, government could fix, for instance, right? If that was an issue, then there would be the same. It'd be the same thing. It'd be 4 point whatever, right? It'd be the same profits they had last year, you know. Anyway, it's frustrating. The flat tax thing. I mean, listen, people are sucked in. You know what people say all the time? Who here has a friend who's like, oh, I'm a liberal, a social liberal, but a fiscal conservative. Mm-hmm. You know? Like this, you hear that all the time, right?
Oh yeah.
And they are literally telling you that they care more about money than people. Okay, they're literally telling you this, right? They're telling you right to your face, I care more about money than I do people. And just call them out on that, you know, like, just please call your friends out, whoever say that term, which gets thrown out a lot, right? Just call them out on it, you know, and just make them answer it and say, you care more about money, you know, like, and this flat tax thing is part of that, right? It's like, anyway, you know.
Well, the flat tax part about it is Tim Michaels doesn't talk about how the fact that if there were to be a flat tax in the state of Wisconsin, Tim Michaels would save himself about $1 million in tax bills every single year. If he got the flat tax to be around 5% than what it actually is for the top income earners of, I believe, 7.5%, he'd cut his tax bill by roughly a third if he got a flat tax around 5%. And I don't understand how somebody that is running for governor, who still has no plan to be able to divest from his family business, that he still wants to go after state contracts. He still wants Michaels Construction to bid for state contracts when he would be the governor overseeing the state that his company would be bidding for. And so
do you think they care? Like, I wonder if they care. You know, I know Republicans don't care, right? Republicans literally don't care if you have a conflict of interest. They literally do not care. They have shown us that, right? Do independents care? Like, I wonder. I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious if they care, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, I don't know if this information, and I understand what you're saying when you started the call of, well, is it worth talking about? Is this something that he's throwing out there to distract from his horrible, horrible stance on public education, on abortion rights, on any of the other numbers of things that Tim Michaels is bad on? Is this something to distract from those? And maybe it is, but I think it should be pointed out as well how horrible of a plan this would be. If the flat tax was so low that it effectively didn't raise taxes on anyone, you went to the lowest tax bracket that the state has, it would decimate state revenues. And if you put it at 5%, where he's floated, that's where he would like it to be, it would raise taxes on 73% of Wisconsin tax filers. So Tim Michaels gets himself $1 million. Yeah.
They did that under Trump. They raised taxes on everybody and gave. And Republicans just don't care. They simply don't care. because they are rich people. They're regular people waiting to get rich. And so, like, it's frustrating. They just don't care about it, you know? Like, they literally raise taxes on everybody and nobody cared. Like, nobody said anything. Republicans don't talk about it at all. They're like...
Well, the interesting thing, and sorry to cut you short, Hawk, we're heading into a hard break, but the interesting thing to see this November, 12 days away, is if stuff like this will move the needle for independent voters here in the state of Wisconsin. Appreciate your call, Hawk. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to return to the phone lines when we get back. Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You on the phone lines, Evan on the board. And we're talking a flat tax proposal graded by Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels. 30 economists signing off on a letter. Talking about the ramifications of what it would mean for the state of Wisconsin. Now, again, it's been hard to pin down some of the proposals that Tim Michaels as a candidate has put out there. Because he really hasn't put a whole lot of proposals out there. His stance on crime is, there's a new sheriff in town. And he says those magic words and, well, all crime goes down in the state of Wisconsin then, folks. Or, I mean, that's how I take what he's been saying. He doesn't have any concrete evidence of what he would do to solve that problem. And he doesn't have a concrete tax plan. He's floated some ideas, saying that he'd like it to be around 5%. But he wouldn't want to raise taxes on anyone. The letter the 30 economists signed yesterday and shared at a news conference in the Milwaukee area outlines the fact that you could have it one or the other. You can't have it both ways. You can either have it around 5% or you can have it not raise taxes on any Wisconsinite. Those two things cannot happen at the same time. If you put it around 5%, it'll raise taxes on 73% of Wisconsin tax filers. And if you put it at the lowest tax bracket to not raise taxes on anyone, you blow a multi-billion dollar hole in the state's revenue source. Which, along with floating this idea, he hasn't proposed anything to make up for that massive hole in state revenues. But you can't talk about it because this reporter, Corinne Hess, who wrote up the piece, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, of the event yesterday, analyzing the Michaels quote-unquote plan. Members of the Michaels team, campaign team, are asking questions like, oh, did Corinne Hess do this in an in-kind contribution to the Evers campaign? And slandering the reporting of the press conference. Well, I guess maybe the press conference, if they didn't want the reporters there, they should have barred the doors and then called the Oconomowoc police on the reporters. Oh, wait, that didn't happen because it was a public event. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covered it as a public event. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open all hour long. We're going to get to a couple of other Wisconsin headlines. But before we do that, we're going to head over to the phone lines. We've got our friend Jeannie in Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. I just had a call today because, you know, I voted for many years. And today, it really felt different. I felt a sense of hope, empowerment, and accomplishment. As I raised my pen as a sword to fight against Republican lies, chaos, deception, criminality, violence, greed, and insanity. And I voted Democrat for intelligence, honesty, integrity, stability, and productivity. That's what I did today, and I'll tell you, it felt great. And I invite everybody else to join me in this fight, utilizing their pen, voting as a sword to fight this destructive behavior that we are now encountering in our lives. So thank you very much, guys, and you have a really good day, and I hope you feel as good as I do when I voted today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm glad to hear that you are exercising your right to taking advantage of that early polling, or excuse me, early in-person absentee voting, which is on from now until the Friday before the election, Saturday in some places, but you have to check your local municipalities to get all the details on where you can go and take advantage of the in-person absentee voting that is underway right now here in the state of Wisconsin. Began on Tuesday. Hours vary from location to location. So if you want to be like Jeannie, like our friend Dan Schaefer, who was on the show on Tuesday, and take advantage of that in-person absentee voting, feel free to do so. Go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about that process. You can check your voter registration status. You can make sure that you are registered. If you need to update your voter registration because you moved recently, you can do all of that there as well, or you get the information. We're beyond the deadline to register to vote online, but you can still register with your local clerk in person, or you can register on election day. But to prevent the lines, it's an absolute terrific service that a lot of groups fought very hard here in the state of Wisconsin to make sure it was accessible for early voting. So myvote.wi.gov is the website to learn more about that process. And 12 days left. 12 days and about, what are we at, 5 hours and 22 minutes before polls close, folks. They are open technically right now. Polls are open in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to the early in-person absentee voting. So thank you for the call, Jeannie. We appreciate it. You can also be like our friend Jack in Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, a whole bunch of stuff, really. First thing I'm going to start out with is inflation. I inherited stock in a major oil company, let's just call it. Their quarterly profits went up from a year ago approximately 250%. That's about 2.5 times what they made. And they were in the billions a year ago. So we know what really is causing inflation, because energy prices really affect almost everything else. We've got to do something like Boris Johnson did. A conservative prime minister of England slapped a 25%, he called it excess profit, I call it price gouging tax on companies like that. And I would, he basically rebated that money to the British people, to the taxpayers in Britain. And when the new prime minister came in, a woman, and I forget her name, but
Liz
the
Truss.
Bottom line was, she decided, oh, we're going to give all these big money people a huge tax break. The pound dropped into the toilet. And she was out. And we got to do stuff like that, you know, in this country with people that give away our money to millionaires and billionaires. The next thing I wanted to say is, speaking of giving money to billionaires and millionaires, the $500,000earners that would get this tax break of $22,000, that's about what I get for my Social Security. But they're not worried about welfare when they talk about, oh, give us a tax break. But that's what it is. And certainly more than Social Security. Those guys don't even pay, at $500,000, they pay about a third of their actual money, their salaries, into the Social Security trust fund.
Yeah, roughly the second two-thirds would not be taxed for the Social Security fund, if for income earners $500,000 or above, correct?
That's about right. And that's another thing. If, you know, people like Johnson are talking about, oh, yeah, we've got to, you know, make Social Security part of the optional, we vote on it every year type of thing. No, excuse me. Most of us paid the full rate, by the way, into Social Security all our lives. It is not welfare. It is a specified pension fund that we have invested in with our federal government. That's what Social Security is. And people need to understand that, and I think a lot of people don't, and that's a real shame. The same thing is true with Medicare, by the way. Medicare is our prepaid health insurance program once we reach a certain age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, just a couple of thoughts for what it's worth.
Hey, and that's what we love around here at Dueling Tangents, Jack, so we appreciate the call. We appreciate your thoughts this Thursday afternoon. If you want to be like Jack, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. But yeah, as I mentioned with the call with Hawk, Shell, one of the largest fossil fuel companies in the world, having a third quarter's earning. These are profits, folks. This is not just total revenue. Profits. Shell having profits in the third quarter of 2022 of $9.45 billion, more than double of what the company did same time period, third quarter last year. And if you want to, if you really are concerned about rising prices that corporations are telling you is inflation, it is the corporate profit margins that are seeing the largest gains right now. And if you are not voting accordingly to have representatives in our government that will hold those corporations accountable, you are not serious about addressing the rising cost of living across the country and here in the state of Wisconsin. And so, Shell, $9.5 billion. Really appreciate your call, Jack. And it feeds pretty well into the other story headline that I want to get to over at Wisconsin Public Radio. The headline, without more people moving to Wisconsin, its workforce may shrink by 130,000 people by 2030. So over the next 8 years, potentially losing 130,000 members of the state's workforce. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but either raising taxes on the lowest earners is not going to attract younger workers in those tax brackets to the state of Wisconsin. If you have a flat tax around 5%, as one of the two gubernatorial candidates has floated, or if you drop and create a flat tax in the 3% range, don't raise taxes on anyone and blow a close to $6 billion hole in the state budget, well, those would be ways to cut services like state parks, public education, law enforcement. All of those services would lose out on revenue sources if the state created a flat tax. As Tim Michaels has said, he wouldn't want to raise taxes on anyone. If we went to that limit, the state would not have the funds to be able to provide essential services to residents and attract more workers to work here. It is a growing problem that the state needs to invest. We currently have a $5 billion surplus. If you truly believe that the best way to burn through that surplus is creating a flat tax of 3.74%, you are giving a tax break to the people who need it least. You are leaving taxes the same for all earners. You're going to, some people in the middle of the tax bracket will see tax relief. They will. But the people that benefit the most, the earners above $500,000, would overwhelm it, because the analysis of a tax cut of, or a flat tax, excuse me, of around 5%, that would still give the those earners in the top income bracket the $22,000 annual savings in their tax bill. But what it would actually do, if you lowered it even further to the bottom, would be much greater than that. Tim Michaels airlifted in from Connecticut is running for governor on a bunch of platitudes and does not have a plan to address the real crises the state of Wisconsin faces, like potentially losing out on 130,000 members of our workforce over the next 8 years. The next governor term is going to be 4 of those 8 years. We need somebody that's going to address the problems that we face, not cut taxes for themselves and the wealthiest earners in the state. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. Got one more segment left in the day. Going to get to your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town.
You know, they can go suck lemons.
Said I'm pulling down the shades for the long ride. I never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on to something now for some time. And all I know is it's a feeling fit for two.
Welcome back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You want to join the show at any time, you can. 844-967-2789. You can also follow the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You are listening to this fine program, Cross Civic Media, in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Supports, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, in Amory, Wisconsin on Lake Air, and in Richland Center on Radio from the Center. 844-967-2789 is the phone line to join. Got another caller. Bill in Stevens Point is calling in this afternoon. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. You've got a great program. Listen,
thank you.
I'm retired now. Oh, man, you guys are right on. I grew up in a Republican family, and basically I am so ashamed for Republicans, I just cannot believe it. Because if they don't recognize one of their own that knows what needs to be done when it comes to democracy, they're letting Liz Cheney out to hang. And I mean, I'm not with her as far as her ideologies, but the bottom line is she's got more kahunas than anybody else in that Republican Party. Now, that being said, let's go to our bag man, and his name is Ron Johnson. Now, this dude, if everybody remembers correctly, he's the guy who tried to help our wonderful Mr. Trumpican overturn the government by bringing false baggage to the Capitol. And that alone should have just knocked him right out of the circuit. And that's why I'm saying Republicans, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for supporting any of these people that have lost any kind of resemblance of what the Republican Party used to be. They actually had years ago, they had some decent you know, they were represented fairly decently, but then guys like Scott Walker show up, and he's the buddy that pretty well destroyed a lot of good people in the state of Wisconsin. He's done such a job on messing up education, and he killed the finest public employee union in the entire country. Wisconsin State Employees Union was born in Wisconsin. American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, mm-hmm. born right here in Wisconsin, 1932, by professionals. Scott Walker ultimately destroyed that. That was Republican. And next thing Scotty Boy did, he decided that he did not want that wonderful money that was given to the state for high-speed rail in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
his idea, well, that's going to be union jobs. We don't need that. So thank you, Illinois. You used it, and now we're back looking at the fact we lost all of that money and the high-speed rail that could have helped a lot of municipalities. The engines would have been built in Wisconsin. So I've just got so many things here that are on my mind. I wish I had more time, but I touched base on a few of those, and you guys can expound on that if you have any other ideas here. But I'll hang on if you have some comments here.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. I think those are all excellent points. And here at Dueling Tangents, we run with the train of thought wherever it goes. And this has been a situation that has been brewing here in the state of Wisconsin for some time. And Scott Walker was a boiling point. And not only the trains, but he refused to accept Medicare. Medicaid expansion. So BadgerCare did not get expanded. We're still waiting for the state to accept those federal funds. During the worst pandemic that we've had in a century, when the people that needed it the most could have had better access to health care. The state of Wisconsin, the Republican-led legislature, still refuses to accept that expansion of Badger Care. And you can even go to a story is the when Walker and Clayfish first came in to office, they had a Department of Workforce Development secretary say, we need to modernize the unemployment system. The system that has been the ire of conservatives and Republicans in the state of Wisconsin since the, one of the biggest things that Republicans are hitting Evers on in his reelection bid is the outdated systems that the state had stressed to the furthest they've been stressed to, like the unemployment insurance system here in the state of Wisconsin during the COVID-19 pandemic. More people filing for unemployment insurance than ever before on an archaic system that the Republican Secretary of Department of Workforce Development said, hey, we need to modernize this. There's some federal funds here. The Obama administration will give us funds to modernize this system. Walker and Clayfish said no. They ignored those requests to modernize the system. And now Republicans are saying, hey, it's Tony Evers' fault that it took so long for us to get unemployment insurance. So even their failures, they come back and try to weaponize their own failures against Democratic candidates in this state. And really appreciate your call, Bill, because it is so frustrating to see time and time again that these individuals can get away with this. I think it's very important to point out how many opportunistic people there are in the Republican Party, because that's what it boils down to, is they're opportunists. They see a lane that they think they can fill and take advantage. They don't care who they have to screw over to make that happen. They're going for broke. They will do whatever it takes to hold on to power. They have gerrymandered areas like Milwaukee and Madison, but other areas like Stevens Point, Green Bay, Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire, they have gerrymandered political power out of so many different regions of this state. And then they sit on their hands and don't go in legislative session. They're full-time legislators, but they yeah. sit on their hands and they wrapped up work in the first week of March.
Full-time, full-time.
They're getting paid full-time, Evan.
Full-time vacation.
Good work if you can get it. But Tim Michaels, at the core of it, is an opportunistic individual. He was consulting on the former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish's campaign. And then he decided, hey, I got a shot if I did this myself. And so he's running for governor. He won the Republican nomination because he dropped millions of his own dollars that he could post up all the ads he wanted to win that primary. He went down and took all the advice from Mar-a-Lago. When he first announced his candidacy, he wasn't focused on 2020. Now he's got questions too, because Mar-a-Lago told him he had to. But he got the Trump endorsement to win that Republican primary. And that's what it comes down to. He's an opportunistic individual. He sees right now that he could potentially, with a Republican legislature, cut taxes for the wealthiest Wisconsinites among us. And so, sure, why not float a flat tax? He'll be open to it. What's the big deal? Nobody in the state of Wisconsin's holding him to any of these proposals as it is. So sure, he's for anything. And he's for everything. And he's for nothing. Because we really don't get the opportunity to see any more on a one-on-one, head-to-head basis between Michaels and Evers over the next 12 days. That's all we got, folks. 12 more days. Got the Matt McNeil Show coming up next. Stay tuned. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2.
Just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.